RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why you guys put me in these positions where I have to be the voice of reason when it comes to Kansas basketball. I tell you guys this all the time. I'm sure I'll have to tell you this in 2026. I don't hate Kansas nearly as much as you guys think that I do. I really don't. I've never met Darren Peterson. I've never talked to Darren Peterson before. I don't know what reason I have to be against the man. He's never done anything to me. I haven't talked to Bill Self in probably 8 years. I don't have anything against Bill. Nothing. I don't dislike these people. When you do this job enough, you start to like people, or they're just neutral to you, or you just don't like them because you had some personal run-in with them. No one in Kansas has ever done anything to me. So I feel like when it comes to some of these topics, I am able to just step back and look at it the same way I can look at a Chiefs problem or a K-State problem. I'm not emotionally invested one way or the other. I want the kid to play. January would be more fun on the show if Kansas' best player was on the team. It would be better. I don't want to talk about the NFL draft 120 days out. I want Kansas to be viable. I want Missouri and K-State to be viable. So let's just get that out of the way for the last time in 2025. I don't care about that most of the time. Now, sure, there's times I want to see Kansas lose, but for the most part, I'm cool on them. This is the part that I don't really understand. And what kind of leads to that little, I don't know if rant is the right way to explain it. So somebody sent me this tweet earlier today. Schools have little incentive to pay big money to the top tier talent since that's still not enough of a guarantee that they'll play. I don't know why we are operating like Darren Peterson is not hurt. There is no evidence in college basketball of these top NIL guys simply taking the money and then deciding to not play. Who is the other player that you would say fits into this category? Cooper Flagg is a better prospect than Darren Peterson. As great as Darren Peterson is, if Cooper Flagg was in this class, Darren Peterson would not be the number one overall pick. Cooper Flagg played last season. The entire season. And is maybe the best American prospect that we've had since Anthony Davis. Cam Boozer, people think he can be the number one overall pick. He's playing this year. AJ DeBansta, another guy who could potentially be the number one overall pick, he's playing. I don't know why we are now spinning it because things are not working with Darren Peterson. Oh, it's all these kids care about. That's all they want is the money. Well, who else is like this? This is not a rash problem. You can't tell me that it was bad for Cooper Flagg to go play basketball at Duke. It was not bad for them. It was not bad for him. It was not bad for us. I like the one and done rule. I like that it gives us an opportunity. I'm sorry that it's not working out at Kansas, but I don't think that Darren Peterson is fully healthy and able to play and now not choosing to play because the money's funny at KU. I think he's hurt. I don't know. I'm not going to say I don't know why. I do know why. I understand it. Your loyalty is to Bill. I think Bill Self has set this thing up poorly from the very, very beginning. And I have been saying this now for weeks. Bill Self should stop talking about this. And every time he talks about it, it gets worse. He did Hawk Talk yesterday. Now, I don't even know what station Hawk Talk is on. I don't listen to that nonsense. But he said that we're really, really close with Darren Peterson. Stop. Stop telling the fans that you're close with Darren Peterson. All it does is build up excitement. Stop talking about him. We're only going to talk about the kids playing right now. That's our stance. That's our official stance as Kansas basketball. Every time he does this, it sounds worse. quote, it's unfair for people to assume the way something is because it's not like that. He hasn't been 100%. Just because he's practicing doesn't mean that he's 100%. Although, gosh dang, he looks good to me. He then says that Darren Peterson could return immediately or it could be a little while longer. What? So he could immediately come back or it could take more time. Well, which is it? Bill, stop talking about this. This is making it worse. When you come out and say that it's cramps, and then you come out and say that it's a hamstring injury, and then you tell us that he's 90 to 95%, but then he can't play, and then you say that his family is in the middle of it now, a lot of this to me is just the messaging from the head coach. If Bill stopped talking about it and said, when we have an update, we'll let you know when he can play, a lot of the temperament towards Darren Peterson would calm down. And I understand it in some ways. He's the CEO of a billion-dollar company, and you got to talk to the media and the press all the time. So you feel a need to say something. It is making the situation worse every time that he talks. I think Darren Peterson is hurt. I don't think there's any reason to not believe that he is not hurt. I don't think there's any reason to not believe that he is not trying to get back on the floor. This is not helping him. How can you argue that it's helping him? All of his contemporaries are playing at a high level and dominating in college basketball while he's sitting on the sideline with an injury. I don't know what it is with basketball players, but somehow I think we have made it where we don't think that basketball players are competitive. That we think you can get to this level of playing basketball when all of us have played basketball at some point. We think you can get to this level where the University of Kansas offers you a full ride scholarship. We just think you get there, you're not a highly competitive person. Like, you don't want to play. You don't want to compete. You're fine now. No, I want to play. I want to be the best. I want to win championships. I want to be the number one overall pick. Hard to do all those things while you're sitting on the sideline next to Melvin Council. It's tough to do those things. Why did you guys put me in a position? I got to be the Darren Peterson apologist. But I don't like the way that we're talking about this kid. I don't like the way that we're doing it. And I'm a little bit mad because I wish I could be on the other side and get my jokes off. I wish I could get my Michael Porter jokes off. But you guys have now made it not fun. It's not fun. I don't even want to do it anymore. I'm on the side. I want the kid to play. What, they play UCF? What, Tuesday? They play UCF next Tuesday. I hope that he plays in the game. I will continue Saturday. To maintain that I hope that he plays.
They play Saturday against UCF and next Tuesday against TCU, which, what a gift of a conference opener for Kansas. UCF and TCU back-to-back. Carrington, I agree with you. I also think the injury the kid has
hold on,
lent itself
to
this.
Can I read this? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got distracted. I'm sorry, Rob. Somebody says it's all about money, not competitive. Kids opting out of bowl games proves this. But the bowl games don't matter. The bowl games don't matter. The bowl games are not building towards something. Kids are not opting out of the college football playoff. No, kids who have a true future are opting out of the Pop-Tart Bowl. They should be opting out of the Pop-Tart Bowl. I've done everything I can for the university of whatever school you go to. So that's not a fair comparison to me. I just don't think you make the decision to go play basketball at Kansas and then you're making the decision to not play against Duke. Why would you do that? You're playing at Madison Square Garden against Duke. You just don't want to play? That doesn't make sense to me. You're telling me that your teammates are in Las Vegas? It's 30 NBA scouts there. Carmelo's sitting courtside. You don't want to play? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why we would think this is the case. I mean, we already seen the kid in the small amount that we've seen him. There's no question he can play. We don't think he wants to prove that on the biggest stage. You go to school to play in March Madness. You go to school to play in these games. You want to go on the road against NC State and Iowa State and shut these crowds up. That's why you decided to play college basketball. I just think right now there's a disconnect with basketball players and the public. Because if this was a football player, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. If you're not playing, there's a belief that you're hurt when you play football. When you're a baseball player and something's wrong, when you're a pitcher and you have some elbow tightness, we tell you to sit down because we know that elbow tightness could lead to you ripping your elbow up and needing Tommy John surgery. The moment Bill Self said this was cramps, Darren Peterson has been set up the entire time. Because cramps are something we've all had before. Hey, go eat a banana. Go drink some Gatorade. You'll get back out there. When he labeled this cramps, I would say that there is a portion of the fan base that started turning on Darren Peterson and has turned on Darren Peterson every single game that he misses.
That part I 1,000% agree with you. That was my point going to be. You stole it right out of my mouth. I think the injury that Darren Peterson is dealing with lends itself to fans being hypercritical of him. I think it's unfair, but I think you'll understand my analogy. If Darren Peterson was in a walking boot because he broke his right ankle, as opposed to dealing with soreness in his right hamstring, I think fans would be more supportive, appreciative, understanding of his injury. But soft tissue injuries are just a matter of his pain tolerance, his comfort, those sorts of things. And fans don't believe he's getting his all because it's soft tissue. But I do believe, right or wrong, and I think it's wrong, the injury Peterson is dealing with has led fans to believe what they want to believe with him because they don't see the injury. Where if he had dislocated an elbow, fans would feel a different way about it. But it's the soft tissue part that gets fans to believe these hyper-conspiracy theories.
Yeah, someone says, C-Dot, people don't like the college players have handlers now. They're holding on to the way it used to be. They always had handlers. They always did. Darren Peterson has a chance of making a $500 million playing basketball. There's always people behind the scenes. Always.
They're less behind the scenes now. We know them now.
100%. Now you're negotiating salary.
Correct.
With these people. You're negotiating salary with them. Again, I understand the frustration. Kansas is, I'm assuming that Darren Peterson, one of the 10 highest paid players in college basketball. And if he's not playing, I get it. I just don't know what reason we have to not believe that they are not, that he's not injured. I have no reason to believe that's not the case. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I just don't understand. I think for sure he's hurt. Someone said, blame the NBA and load management. The public believes basketball players are soft. For sure, no question. I mean, I would say that load management happens in other sports as well. We just call it something very different. I mean, I've certainly seen a lot of baseball lineups that were some, we call them Sunday lineups in baseball. I mean, I would argue right now that a lot of teams in the NFL are currently tanking. They're just not calling it load management. The Chiefs have sat down 30% of their roster the last couple of weeks. That's a lot of teams are doing it. But the NBA, I'm with you. The perception becomes reality. And the perception is that basketball players don't play through things. I just don't think you sign up to play basketball at Kansas and then you're missing all the cool stuff about playing basketball at Kansas. I know it sounds crazy. The little bit of money that Kansas is paying Darren Peterson is a drop in the bucket to what he is going to make over the course of his lifetime. A drop in the bucket. Christian Brown's not a top five, or he's not a top 50 player in the NBA. Maybe not a top 100 player in the NBA. He just signed for $200 million. All Darren Peterson has to do is not mess up his life, and he's going to make a minimum of $200 million playing basketball. Trust me, that $2 million that Kansas is paying him is just, it's a drop in the bucket compared to it. I'm playing basketball because I love it. I'm playing basketball because I want to do it. I think the kid would be going out there. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going through some of the news stories that we had. I completely forgot that this happened in 2025. One of my favorite things is when people get all up in arms about things that just don't really matter. Remember when Cracker Barrel changed their logo and people lost their minds about it?
Cracker Barrel is acknowledging mistakes and rolling out its rebranding campaign that has sparked a fierce public backlash. We could have done a better job sharing who we are and who we'll always be, the family restaurant chain says in a new statement. Earlier this month, the company replaced its logo, featuring this character known as Uncle Herschel in place since the 1970s, with this sleek, minimalistic logo.
Cracker Barrel needs to feel like the Cracker Barrel for today and for tomorrow.
But many customers and investors weren't buying it. Cracker Barrel stock plummeted after the announcement, the company losing $94 million in market value last Thursday. The company saying, "While our logo and remodels may be making headlines, our bigger focus is still right where it belongs, in the kitchen and on your plate. Uncle Herschel will still be on our menu, on our road signs, and featured in our country store. He's not going anywhere. He's family." It's not just the logo changing. The restaurant's interior design is getting spruced up with more comfortable chairs and sleeker decor. But the company vowing to keep the rocking chairs, fireplace, and games.
Rob, there's no chance if I had told you, "Hey, the old guy on the Cracker Barrel logo, what do you think his name is?" There's no way you tell me, "Oh, that's Uncle Herschel." No way you know that. There's not at all. There's no way you know that.
You're right. I would never get right. Why would I think the inanimate mascot of a chain restaurant has a nickname?
I'm just telling you, man.
Do you think the lobster on Red Lobster has a name? What do you think the lobster on Red Lobster's logo name is? I don't know how to answer that question.
Maybe you support Uncle Herschel. I didn't know. When's the last time you went to Cracker Barrel?
I honestly don't remember. I've been to Cracker Barrel before. The food's pretty good.
I've been to Cracker Barrel post Y2K.
I definitely went as a kid. So I think it was post Y2K, but it
wasn't. What would make you go to Cracker Barrel? Like this weekend, let's say that Caroline comes up to you and says, "Hey, babe, I want you to take me out for breakfast." What would have to happen for you to make Cracker Barrel your destination and that's where you end up going?
Someone else pays.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like, "Hey, here's a free breakfast." Okay. I'm not above a free breakfast.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Cracker Barrel's
problem wasn't the logos.
No.
It's not their problem. They have other problems to address. Other problems to attack.
Also, people just hate change. Whether it's better or worse, people hate change. Maybe your social media is different. You ever see those like, "Oh, remember when Burger King looked like this? Times were better." It's the same. Burger King's the same. McDonald's doesn't have play place anymore. You know what? McDonald's is still McDonald's. Just things are changing. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
I always feel like when people have those fast food arguments, like you're arguing how much you loved fast food when you were 7. Of course you loved it when you were 7. And now that you're 38 years old, no, you don't love that 4-for-4 menu as much as you did when you were a kid. No, for sure. Fast food was always better when you were a kid. Yeah, of course. You were 9. You hadn't eaten anywhere good yet at that point in your life. Now that you've had better cuisine, no, you don't get as excited about the Taco Bell dollar menu as you did when you were a kid. And you're wondering why you ate this. The fact that you can get 2 tacos for the price of getting on the bus should tell you everything that you need to know. You remember this story? The text line was arguing for you. You remember this story? You probably don't even remember this. I'm going to play. Hold on.
Southwest is changing another longstanding policy. So starting in January, the airline will require passengers who encroach upon the neighboring seat to buy an additional ticket, which may not be refunded. Now, previously, you could either pay the cost of an extra seat in advance and later get a refund, or show up at the airport and request an extra seat at no charge. So now the second seat will only be refundable if the flight takes off with at least one open seat and both are in the same fare class. Advocacy groups for overweight people calls the changes devastating since they raised costs.
It's not funny. I'm not laughing. I'm sorry. I'm not laughing about that. This is what I'm laughing about. You want to be sued, don't you? It's 2025. You're telling me that someone bought a ticket, someone walks up to the front and hands you their paid ticket, and you were going to tell that person you weigh too much, you owe us more money, and you don't think that that person is about to sue the company? I'm still not even sure if this is a real story. Like, I know it's a real story, but I refuse to believe it's a real story. There's no way that people in nice suits who make a lot of money sat around and thought about this. And you know, you got to run everything through legal, Rob. We can't give a pizza away without running something through legal. You were going to make a ticketing change, and there wasn't one person that told you, hey, I don't think we can do this. Like, this sounds like a class action lawsuit waiting. Who determines if the person's big enough? How do we determine this? And I remember the text line was like, oh, well, you know, you just don't know. You don't fly. Okay, all right. I mean, hey, it sounds like a really, really bad idea to me for Southwest, who in 2025, that's a company that had a lot of bad ideas. Southwest Airlines had a lot of bad ideas in 2025. And I say this as someone who has a Southwest credit card. I like their reward system. I like Southwest. A lot of bad ideas from them.
Not a banner year for old Southwest.
Not at all.
Remember when bags used to fly for free? Times are changing.
So times are certainly changing. No, for sure. For sure. 100%. Can we talk about this? I'm now mentally ready to talk about this. I always feel like I have to preface these conversations. I love the NFL. I really do. I love it. I spend a lot of my life reading and talking and thinking about and coming up with new ways and fresh, innovative ways to talk about the NFL. I love it. But I feel like the NFL has gotten so popular that we're afraid to tell the NFL when they have bad ideas. The NFL should have never moved the Los Angeles Chargers to Los Angeles. Los Angeles doesn't want the Chargers. They don't love the Chargers. They like the Rams, sure. They don't like the Chargers. Moving them out of San Diego was a bad idea. Helping San Diego build them a new stadium would have been the right idea, but no, LA's got two teams, so we got to have two teams. It was a terrible idea to move them there, and it would be better for the NFL if they moved back to San Diego. Las Vegas, taking one of your proud franchises and moving them there, also a terrible idea. The Raiders used to have an identity. The autumn wind cuts like a Raider. Like, the Raiders were cool. You've made them not cool. They're an attraction. They're like the Sphere now. They're like coming to see the Wizard of Oz. You go to Las Vegas. You go out. You eat a couple of shows. You go watch your team kick the local football team's head in, and then you go back home. It was a terrible idea of moving the Las Vegas Raiders and taking away one of your proud franchises with a clear identity and moving them to be a tourist destination. You should have moved Jacksonville then if that was the case. There were other franchises to move if that was the goal for the NFL. Doesn't make any sense. The NFL adding an extra week of NFL games and certainly going to argue that we need another week of NFL games is another terrible idea. There's three good games this week. Out of your 32 teams, six play in important games. This was not a good idea. And I feel like we have been so beaten down by the NFL and we're so addicted to the NFL that any bad decision, well, I mean, it's money. They got to make money. How much more money do they need? They're charging you $500 for a Sunday ticket. They're charging you for the PSLs. They're charging you $70 to park your car. You got to pay for 9 different streaming services to watch all the games. They need more money for what? They don't pay for their own stadiums. They don't pay for the land on the stadiums. How much more money do they need? They never needed to expand the NFL regular season. This week it's meaningless. It's meaningless. There's three good games on, and two of them are on Saturday. There's no reason to watch from a playoff perspective. There's no reason to watch the 12 o'clock window or the 3:25 window. Not a one. And I would even argue that one of the games that they have that was supposed to be a playoff game, it might not even end up mattering. Did you now know that the Panthers and Buccaneers, it's not a win if you go home scenario, that it's also based on the Falcons and Saints? So the Panthers could lose the game and still go to the playoffs. So it doesn't even have the same implications as the game in the AFC North. It was a really bad idea to expand the NFL regular season. And I know coming up in a few years when the CBA is up, they're then going to argue for an 18-game schedule for absolutely no reason. We have not increased the important football games. All we've done is increase the games at the end of the season that don't matter. The AFC has been done and locked up now for 2 weeks. We know who the playoff teams are. The NFC picture also been locked up for 2 weeks. We didn't need to do this. But they got to make more money. They got to sell it more to TV, and they needed more playoff games and more playoff teams. It was a bad idea from the jump to expand the NFL regular season.
I also think, as a society, I think we know that football is a grueling sport where players get hurt. Why did we think adding more games would increase the importance of the games? All it did was lend itself to another chance that good players would be hurt. I saw a report, Justin Herbert's not going to play on Sunday. And if you weren't going to care about Broncos, Chargers, that's fine. Justin Herbert's not playing. That game's useless. Like, there are players who are battling injury who are sitting out this week because there's an extra week of games. If we didn't have that extra game, maybe a player doesn't get hurt. Like, it made no sense when it happened. It makes no sense now, but the CBA will come out. The playoffs will expand. The regular season will expand. We'll play 20 games. We'll have 15 postseason teams. It'll just, because the NFL, and people say, well, they're making more money. Just, okay, cool.
Yeah, and in that sense, to me, it's kind of like, and I don't know if you like, maybe this analogy doesn't even make sense now that I'm thinking it out. It's like whenever a team was changing conferences and you were arguing, man, they make so much more money in the SEC. Why does that matter to you? Like, you don't care about the competitiveness. You don't care about the rivalries. You don't care about the games. Like, why are you taking some pride in what the television ratings are, how much money they're making off gambling? Like, this is not all of the games that we have in week 18 we always would have had. We would have still had Panthers and Bucks. They're in the same division. We would have still had Seahawks and Niners. We still would have had Ravens and Steelers. We would have had all of these games. They're just, it was no purpose other than greed. That's all it was. Why the NFL plays games on Christmas? Greed. Every decision that they make is based off, it's not based off what's best for the league. It's not based off competitiveness. It is based off greed every single time. I mean, I'm going to watch it because we got to, but goodness gracious, I'm just not, I don't know if I can watch on Sunday. I'm being serious. The game's at noon. There's way too many important games that we have to watch in the college football and NFL calendar to then spend my Saturday and Sunday watching games that don't have any value on anything. No, I told you guys, I'm either watching it for entertainment purposes or for the show. I'm not just watching football for the sake of watching football. I watch enough of it. We've been watching it since August. It's on all the time.
I mean, also this week specifically, we're going to have Games Really Matter on Wednesday, on Thursday, and on Saturday. You want me to commit my Sunday afternoon to?
For sure.
And then commit my Sunday evening? No. And then I got 4 weeks on deck of games that matter. I have to take a day off. The college world playoff is a literal playoff. So I'm not taking those games off.
Yeah, I'm watching all four of those games.
I'm sorry. Eagles and Commanders is not having my attention. That's a time to get some stuff down around the house.
Especially on Thursday when we all off work anyway. There ain't nothing else to do other than watch football. Yes, I'm locked into all of those games. Rob, you know what? Let's hit a little college football music and let's get to it. We're not going to be here to break these games down. You're right. We got four college football playoff games starting tomorrow night between Miami and Ohio State. Rob, hit me with a little college music. All right, I don't know if this counts as a hot take or not. This is what I think will get them to change the playoff format and expand the playoff format. Last year, all four teams that had a bye lost in the second round of the college football playoff. If something similar happens this year, and you were telling me that Indiana's out, Georgia's out, Ohio State is out, Texas Tech, that's what happened last year. The four top seeds all lost in this round. They are not continuing with this system. And then if we're going to change the system, why don't we just do it the way that it should be? A 16-team playoff in the first two rounds, the higher seed is the home team. Is that not the easiest way to do it? That's how the NFL playoffs work. The first two games are at home, and then you can change the calendar that we have. You then play the semifinal on New Year's Day, which is synonymous with the college football sport. And then you have the national championship a week later on January 8th or one of those days. The college football playoff is so easy to figure it out. How have they made this difficult? 16-team playoff that starts. The higher seed hosts the games until we get to the Final Four. You rotate the Final Four between the Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl, and all of those bowls. We have the national championship, and then we repeat the process. But we're asking fans for Ohio State to travel 3 straight weeks. They got to go to the Cotton Bowl. They got to go to the Fiesta Bowl and then the national championship. That just doesn't seem very feasible. You're asking people to do that coming off the holidays and how much money people spend for Christmas.
I also think, and this is from a purely college football lover's perspective, last year and this year, watching the games on campus, there is an energy that college football is supposed to have.
For sure.
That Alabama-Oklahoma game, that was a conference game in Norman.
It was great.
There was an energy to it. Last year, Notre Dame played Indiana. Notre Dame and Indiana don't get along because they're two schools in the same state that never play. There was a buzz, a hype, and excitement. Do you know what didn't have that buzz? Penn State-Boise State. I'm sorry, a sterilized, corporatized Fiesta Bowl of Penn State and Boise State was not a cool atmosphere. I don't even know where Indiana is playing. It's the Rose Bowl. Indiana, Alabama. We're going to have like the cool flyover shot because the Rose Bowl. But is it going to be as good of an atmosphere as Norman last week? No. Put more games on campus. Stop putting regular season games on places that aren't campus. Campus is where these games should be played, period. Full stop.
Miami versus Ohio State. I'm going to pick Ohio State to break the trend of teams that had a bye and win. I just don't trust Miami's offense enough to score. I do trust Ohio State's offense to score. They got one of the 5 best quarterbacks in college football. That Bo Jackson kid, their running back, had a phenomenal second half of the season. They probably have the best player in college football. I think they might once again have the best roster in the sport as well. Ohio State is playing like one of those kind of teams. Clemson from a few years back, Alabama from a few years back, Georgia. They're one of those kind of programs. I don't think that's where Miami is. Miami has had some good wins this season. This is where I think their run ends. Give me Ohio State.
Yeah, I feel like this has a chance to get ugly. Miami can't score. And I think Ohio State is going to eventually break them because they can. It might be one of those games where at half it's like, oh, it's spicy. It's 16-7. Let's see what happens. But I think eventually Ohio State just breaks Miami. And this one ends up being like 31-10, 31-13. Ohio State's just too talented for Miami. Miami did a really good job at A&M, but I don't think they can do it twice in a row.
Oregon and Texas Tech, that's the first game on New Year's Day. Rob, tell me why you're going to side with the Big 12 here, because I know you're picking the Big 12.
I'm picking Texas Tech. Texas Tech might have the best defense in college football. No one talks about them that way.
Because of who they stop. Because they beat up on Avery Johnson and K-State. That's why we think they got the best. Show me against a team like Oregon with the NFL quarterback.
I'm excited to see them against an NFL quarterback, because they have a top 10 pick at edge rusher. They have a day 2 pick at linebacker.
Iowa State. And you're like, oh, they got the best defense in the league. Well, show me then. Show me on Thursday at the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Also, who has Oregon beat this year? Show me Oregon's behemoth win.
I'm taking Oregon to win this game. Oregon's, they got a behemoth win. They went on the road and beat Iowa. That's tough.
Oh, yeah.
They went on the road and beat Penn State. That's tough.
Oh, that's James Franklin.
They beat USC earlier this year.
Uh-huh. That, you know what that is? That's Iowa State, K-State, and, you know, BYU. It's the same.
Hold on. They beat BYU's a playoff team actually last week in James Madison.
Oh, yeah. They got James Madison. By the way, couldn't cover against a team that had no
cover.
Business
no,
being
they
out
didn't
there.
Cover. I'm picking Indiana against Alabama. I'm picking Indiana.
Is that a surprise to people? I think Indiana does have the best quarterback.
I think whenever we see the actual like betting slips for the day, I think that the Alabama money line is going to be the most popular bet.
Okay, that's fair. I think it'll be the most popular bet. I just think Indiana might have the best coach left in the whole thing, and they have the best quarterback.
Hold on, let's not do that. Georgia has the best coach left, Kirby Smart. I'll take Kirby Smart over.
Okay, that's fair.
And I like Cignetti. I would just take. I think Kirby Smart's the best coach in college football.
I think it's closer than the average person thinks. Like Cignetti's really. He's in year 2 at Indiana.
Yeah, I hate to say this. I think the SEC was overvalued this year, and I think Alabama's going to show you that. I think Alabama has a great quarterback
too.
I don't think they have a whole lot else on that team. This team, they cannot run the football this year. Something happened to Ryan Williams. He's not anywhere close to the receiver he was last year. Their defense is good, but funny enough, I think Indiana's the tougher, more physical team, more balanced team. They're also getting one of their top receivers back in Omar Cooper, the guy that had the game-winning catch against Penn State. Yeah, I like Indiana to win that game. Give me Indiana -7.
Also, what Indiana did defensively to Ohio State.
For sure.
I'm about to do that to
Alabama.
They're going to have Ty Simpson in a blender. And you're right. I don't know what happened to Ryan Williams. He used to be studied. Did the Monstars steal his talent? Because I don't know what happened to him.
Georgia and Ole Miss. I'm biased here. I got to bet on Georgia to win the whole thing.
I don't think Ole Miss has a chance.
I'm not going to say they don't have a chance.
I mean, it's football, so they have a chance, but I think Georgia just clearly superior, and they don't have a coach. Like, you mentioned Kurt Riesbach's the best coach in what's left. He's going to coach circles around, is it Pete Golding?
This is Pete Golding's first real big game.
This feels like, you know.
I don't know. Oh, the only reason I'm not going to say it is you played him earlier in the season because they know you, and just Ole Miss is just such a wild card in this scenario. Like, genuinely a wild card. I have no clue what to expect from them.
I mean, I don't expect them to keep up with Georgia.
Georgia, Ohio State next week could be a lot of fun. Oh, yeah. Georgia, Ohio State next week could be a lot of fun.
Georgia, Ohio State, I mean, Oregon or Tech coming out of that game against Indiana, that's a really good final four.
Yeah, so will an Indiana-Oregon rematch will be a lot of fun, too.
Thanks for Tech winning that game.
After they go on the road and smack Texas
Future
Tech.
Future Chief David Bailey is going to have multiple sacks in that game.
Go on the road and smack. That's who you got him taking, Bailey?
I want him to take Bailey, yeah.
I want him to take Jeremiah Love just to upset you.
That's
what I really want.
I'm about 90 minutes away from vacation. Don't do that.
That's
to
what
me.
I really want. I want them to
my
say
head will explode.
I actually want the Chiefs to trade up to get Jeremiah Love just for you. I want them to move up to 7. That's what I want
one
them
spot.
To do.
Oh God, I'd lose.
That's
it.
What I want them to do. All right, coming up on the other side. You know what? Why don't we talk about the Chiefs for a little bit? We have the range of where the Chiefs could potentially pick. We'll talk about it and play a little bit of a game. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is the exercise that I want to do. Maybe this ends up being a little bit clunky, but I think it will be a worthwhile exercise. So if you look at The Athletic right now, the Chiefs have the most likely selections for the Chiefs are 8, 9, 10, and 11. So they have a 21% chance at the 8th overall pick, a 36% chance at number 9, 21 at number 10 and 18 at number 11. They got a 4% chance at number 12. Like, a lot of things got to go wrong, I guess, so to speak, for them to end up getting the 12th pick. So they are somewhere between 8 to 11. Now, yesterday, some people got mad at me, and mad's kind of relative. I don't really care where the Chiefs pick in this range. The Chiefs are not the Jets, where they desperately need a quarterback, where you got to pick in the top three to get your quarterback. I also am reading a text right here that says, CDOT, I know you're not going to suggest drafting anything but a pass rusher. I know that Veach is best player available, but this could be your one and only chance to get Nick Bosa or Myles Garrett, one of those kind of pass rushers. I'm sorry, that guy doesn't fall to 8 in the NFL draft. That guy hasn't bought 11 in the. If you're telling me there's a prospect that they think is Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa, that guy goes in the top three. It's not what the Chiefs are going to be picking. Now, I understand the logic in where you want the best draft pick possible. If you're not going to, I get it. We can go through this range of players over the last 4 years, and I just think you're going to see that there's just not a huge gap if where you, like, once you get outside the top talent in the draft, which is 1 through 5, man, it's about making the right selection for you as an organization. So this was last year's 8 through 11. Tet McMillan went to Carolina. Kelvin Banks Jr. was an offensive lineman that went to the State. Colston Loveland, who, if you remember at the time, a lot of people thought that Tyler Warren was the better tight end. I kind of still think that Tyler Warren is the better tight end. Mikel Williams, the DN from Georgia, he went 11th overall to San Francisco. And Tyler Booker was the 12th overall pick to the Dallas Cowboys. Rob, there's not a big gap in the 8th pick and the 12th pick. And if you took Tet McMillan at number 8, what if I told you that you could have got a Mecca Igbuka at 19 who might end up being the better receiver out of them? We all knew that those were two top guys. Now, we could go to the 2024 draft in that same range. In 2024, this was much more of a quarterback draft. Obviously, no meaning to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Michael Penix was the 8th pick. Romo Dunze was the 9th pick. J.J. McCarthy was number 10. An offensive lineman from Penn State. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name for the Jets. And Bo Nix was the 12th overall pick. So obviously, I don't think we're going to see that level of quarterbacks. That draft, I think, had 6 quarterbacks drafted in the top 12. That was a different kind of draft than the one that we have now. But I'm looking at the top of it. I mean, it was a quarterback year. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. went 4 in this year's draft class. Joe Alt, who was the best offensive lineman, went 5 in this draft class. Those were the elite level prospects. And then you take a step down, you could have got a good player. Quinyon Mitchell was in that first round. I would take Quinyon Mitchell with the 11th overall pick. Yeah, he went 22nd in that year's draft class. If the Chiefs moved on from Trent McDuffie and drafted Quinyon Mitchell with the 11th overall pick, I'd be fired up if that's who they got. If you could have got Byron Murphy at 16, you'd be thrilled if that's who you ended up getting in this scenario. We can go back another year in 2023. Number 8 was Bijan Robinson. Number 9 was Jalen Carter. Darrell Wright, the offensive tackle, went to the Chicago Bears. Peter Skronsky went to the Tennessee Titans. Jahmyr Gibbs was the 12th overall pick. Like, we can continue to go through this. Again, if you are on the side of tank, 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 get the best pick possible, I'm not here telling you that you're wrong. If we continue to go through this, you are going to see there is not a huge difference in the 8th pick and the 11th pick. And right after you get side out of that range, there's a lot of players that you would very happily be cool with if the Chiefs took. You'd be happy if the Chiefs took Christian Gonzalez or Jack Campbell, who went 17 and 18, or Jackson Smith and Jibba with the 20th overall pick. You'd be happy if they ended up with those guys. I understand that draft culture is about pick as high as you can and hoard as many picks as you can. I get it. The Chiefs are going to be in a position to take a day one impact starter at almost any position that they see fit. At almost any position. If they want to answer right tackle, they'll be in a position to answer right tackle. If they want to take a Trent McDuffie replacement, you can take a corner. If you want to take a pass rusher, if you want to end up taking a really good wide receiver that can be a day one step in for you starter, that's what you get when you pick between 8 to 12. You find a guy that can instantly step in and help you. And I would say, based on where they've selected the last couple of years, that's not really the expectation for Xavier Worthy was to step in day one and be a massive help for you. That really wasn't the expectation. I mean, it was a couple years ago. They were drafting first-round picks. We were calling them red shirts, and they hadn't even been handed the jersey yet. There is no red shirt year when you picked 11th. There's no red shirt year if you're picked 9th. No, it is you are a starter. Day one, you need to have a defined role on this team and a defined purpose. And it's your responsibility as an organization to get that kid in a position where he can play. So, I honestly just don't care. I know some of you are very invested in it. That's not where I am. They're not a good football team. They're going to select where bad football teams pick. Draft players to get yourself good. That's the responsibility of Brett Veach.
So we agree. But going through that exercise, I think one thing became abundantly clear, and this is not some earth-shattering, you know, NFL draft take. It's more about who you take than where you take them. Because we talk about this with the Chiefs all the time. There was this thought that, oh, the bill was always going to come due because the Chiefs pick 30th, 31st, 32nd every year. You can pick good players anywhere in the NFL draft. They are available. Now, you know, maybe there's a variance on how many good players available in each round, but whether you're pick 10 or 25, it's a matter of identifying, scouting, and picking the player. Because, like, even last year's draft, just cherry picking that one. Kelvin Banks, I don't watch the Saints like that, so I'll throw him out. A couple of those guys, like, ooh, that's a great pick at 8, 9, 10. A couple of those guys you mentioned, you're like, ooh, that's swing and a miss. It's not because, oh, the 10th pick just was void of talent that year. It's because the 10th pick, you have to find, identify, and pick the right player.
Yeah, and we can even go back one more draft class here. So these are the last four draft classes. Like, even in this example where, Rob, I'm sure that you and I spent time arguing about which one of these receivers that which you would want. So the 8th through 12th pick in the 2022 draft, so what, that four drafts ago, Drake London went 8, Garrett Wilson went 10, Chris Olave went 11, Jamison Williams went 12, and oh yeah, Jordan Davis went 13, and Kyle Hamilton went 14. Right now, you would take any one of those wide receivers, and I think you could argue that any one of those wide receivers would be wide receiver number one on the Chiefs, if you're taking any one of those four wide receivers.
I will say, I agree with you.
One thing and Jordan Davis would be the best defensive player that you
100%.
Have.
100%. The one thing that will affect the Chiefs this year in the draft is it's not a good quarterback draft. Because that one draft you mentioned, now that was a freak show draft with JJ and...
I think this draft class is a little better than people are giving it credit. You got three legitimate first round picks to me. Moore's one, Mendoza is one, and Ty Simms. I like Ty Simms. I think he's got a chance to be a very good NFL player.
My point was, there's three... There's more than three quarterback needy teams.
That's fair.
Usually teams willing to come up and jump ahead of people and it, you know, oh, we have to get a quarterback. Yeah. So we're going to take the fourth best one available, 8th overall pick, which inherently slides a better player down the draft. That's where I think it hurts the Chiefs. Yeah,
I mean,
a little
if you want
bit.
My honest thing, I mean, the best possible scenario for the Chiefs would be is that the Chiefs get the 9th overall pick. A team desperately wants a player. They move from 9 to 13. And you pick up an extra second or third round pick, you can still take an instant day one starter and you continue to build assets. What this team needs is they need an abundance. They need to turn over the roster. And you do that with young, proven players. That's what you need. They got to turn over this roster. It's too many old guys. It's too many guys that have been on this team for long. I don't want to see Juju Smith-Schuster back in a Chiefs uniform. Hollywood Brown. Like, they got to turn that roster over and get some youth, get some guys on some rookie contracts, and some guys that can grow in this second juncture of a potential Chiefs dynasty. Coming up on the other side, we had a great conversation with Dave Helling, who does a little bit of writing for the Kansas City Star. He worked for him for 40 years. He's now retired, but he still does some pieces for them. He has covered this stadium stuff since 1977. We had a long talk with him about the deal in Kansas and also the Royals' future in Missouri. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.